a ceremony in this church today, but you want to give me, I want to give you one of the things. Learn to forbear with one another. Forgive one another. See more good in your spouse than the evil of he or she does to you. See more positively what you can contribute to make your marriage a success and shall be so in Jesus' name. All trouble go. I speak peace in the name of Jesus Christ and the love of God that these marriages that will be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we are here to talk the word of God. Now, Shija will pray. Let us pray. My Father, my God, I want to thank you, O God, for this wonderful privilege. Lord, we gather together in your presence and to share your word. The word is able to establish us and make us firm, O Lord, and fruitful and successful as Christians. Lord, I pray that I speak as an oracle of God this morning and that the people be blessed and will take precaution. They will take caution to themselves in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, teach us yourself because you are the great teacher, send to us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's going to be a teaching session. Praise God. Going to read some scriptures for the past. The first one is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. This is what it says. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scriptures. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. That a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen.
Then we're also going to read another passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 5 to 12.
1 Corinthians chapter 10, from verse 5. But with many of them, talking about the Israelites in the wilderness, with many of them, God was not well pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were examples unto the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rules of complaint. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 320,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of the serpents. Verse 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, all these things Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, the Old Testament, is a prophecy about people who will turn away from the faith, and this is what they do. So woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. That's Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. In the latter time, people are going to have seared conscience. Apart from having said Jesus Christ, they are going to have seared conscience. In other words, their conscience will no longer be sensitive. Most of all the time, their conscience was sensitive. When we give our life to Christ newly, we have very sensitive spirits. Our conscience becomes very sensitive. And we don't want to offend God. We don't want to disobey God. But with time, some people, their conscience becomes seared. They cannot allow anything that they didn't allow in the time past. And God is not happy with that. In these latter times, people are departing from the faith. And now they are having itching ears. And it's not a prophecy now. Then it was a prophecy in Bible times that people shall depart from the faith. But I'm telling you, people have departed and are still departing from the faith. But that I don't want you to be a victim. I don't want your relation to be a victim. That is why this message is coming at the end of the day. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, we are told that there are some people, when they are in church, they are Christian quite alright, they will have itching ears. Itching ears. What does that mean? Itching ears is a term used in the Bible to describe individuals who seek out messages and doctrine to condone their own lifestyle. They have a set lifestyle and they don't want it changed. And so they want messages that will conform to their lifestyle. But it ought not to be so. When we come to the house of God, we should pray that God will speak to us. If it's just a word, if it's just a phrase, that's okay. But not that you want God to speak what you want to hear.
forgiven. So that there is no reason any believer, like you and me, to ever confess or repent of any sin. Do you agree with that statement?
No.
Some of you may agree.
I agree with that.
Okay, but that's why I teach. So I hate and fear that. This teaching maintains that all sins, past, present, and future, have already been forgiven. So there is no need for any believer to ever confess or repent of sin. That way, it's nothing like repentance, any Christian repentance of anything. Christian doesn't have to. Secondly, the teaching also says that we are not bound by the teachings of Jesus Christ before resurrection, before he died and resurrected. Why? They say that Jesus Christ was living in a transition period, more or less teaching about the Old Testament, and that we are not under the law, and therefore we are not to believe those, we are not to go with those teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, even as we are no longer under the law. These are strong statements, but this is true. And you can browse and you can see what really is happening in Christendom today. And there are so many things that are happening because of this wrong belief. This teaching also states that believers are not responsible for their sins. People are not responsible for your sins. Therefore, Christians can live anyhow. It doesn't really matter. This is where that spirit comes from. It doesn't really matter. Spirit is where it comes from. And anyone who disagrees with them is considered a Pharisee legalist. Yes, that's what is happening. The Bible says of the believer in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This was written, and it is still written to Christians, not unbelievers. A Christian can sin. The very fact that you are born again does not mean that you cannot sin. Of course, this corresponds with that doctrine of saying once sin, always sin. For a long time, I know that would be wrong. But now I see clearly that these people, they are teaching the same thing. Also in James chapter 5, verse 16, Christians are enjoined to confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that she may be healed. This is scripture. As Christians, we confess our sins not to be saved, not for salvation, but to maintain and establish an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's the purpose. When we sin and the Holy Spirit convicts us, then we repent immediately. But this teaching says there's no need for repentance. You don't have to confess anything. You don't have to repent of anything. God demands of the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, to remember from where thou art fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. That's way ahead of the Gospels, after the epistles. And by the way, for them to say that the teachings of Jesus Christ, you know, that they are the Old Testament, is actually wrong, very, very wrong. We are going to read scripture to tell you that they are very, very wrong. You couldn't take Jesus Christ out of the equation and say you're a Christian. What kind of Christianity is that? Jesus Christ is our Savior, is our Lord. He taught us how we need to live. He taught us basic principles like forgiveness.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. And it was also taught in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, where it says, you should follow holiness. And peace be with God. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Also in 1 John chapter 3, 2 to 3, these truths that Jesus Christ taught, they were repeated and emphasized in their pieces. Generally, what Jesus taught in the gospel, they are the most expounded in their pieces. Whether it's about 1 Corinthians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Colossians, these are the epistles. And all the epistles, they explain the gospel, they explain the teachings of Jesus Christ. They are not saying something different, something new, but expounding and explaining what Jesus Christ has already taught us. Jesus taught about rejoicing when we are persecuted and to give glory to God. In Matthew 5, 10 to 12. And this again was emphasized in 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 to 16. Let's read this. Please. Let's see it. 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 to 16. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind, for he has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Verse 2. He that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the laws of men, but to the will of God. Verse 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revels, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Let's stop there. Praise the Lord. Now, Apostle Peter told us the same thing exactly, emphasizing what Jesus Christ has taught us. So it's no different. The Word of God remains the same. It's inspired of God. You can't say that, what Jesus Christ taught is not relevant anymore. That is only what Apostle Paul taught. Very wrong, erroneous. Jesus taught us about the new birth experience, without which nobody can see heaven. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Cannot enter. You must be born again. You don't just have to be religious. If you are just coming to church and you feel that every once in a week you come to church and that's okay, it's not okay. You must be born again. You must have a spiritual rebirth. Jesus Christ said that. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, Apostle Peter also said that. Let's read it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. So in the epistles, it's not a new doctrine, it's not a new gospel. It's just expanding and explaining what Jesus Christ had taught. So to now put a divine reason, it's what the apostles taught that we believe, that's very wrong, wrong foundation. Jesus talked about the resurrection of the dead. In fact, in John chapter 11, 25 to 26, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The apostle taught the same thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51 to 65, Jesus Christ, the apostle Paul, he emphasized it once again about the resurrection. Without resurrection, we are hopeless. Bible says, if only this world we have hope, we have all men most miserable. There's a resurrection. Even those who are wicked and they have been wicked and died, even if they are that their body be cremated, burnt to ashes, they will still stand up and give account of their life to God.
In Revelation chapter 20, 11 to 15, let's read that. Revelation 20. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat in it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Verse 12. Revelation 20. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered of the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Praise God. So Jesus taught this, and the apostles, they also taught the same thing. Jesus talked about rewards in Matthew 16, 27. And this was also taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 12 to 15. We are going to have a reward for all we do for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Christians will be judged and rewarded. How we have labored for the Lord. Everything is documented in Bible. 1 Corinthians 3, 12 to 15. And Revelation 22, verse 12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. Where then is the basis of these people who believe in hyper grace, say that the teachings of Jesus Christ should not be followed by Christians? So that is falling away from the faith. That is an aspect of it. The fallout of this false teaching is impacting the church negatively. According to Jude chapter 1 verse 4, let's read it. Jude chapter 1 verse 4, there's only one chapter. There is something that results as a result of believing any false doctrine. For there are certain men crept unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God, take note of that, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Can you see there, even that word grace is mentioned there. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But these are certain men crept in our ways, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. What is lasciviousness? Lascivious behavior is sexual behavior. It is conduct that is considered crude and offensive or contrary to local moral or other standards of appropriate behavior. More biblically, it also means lewd, indecent, lecherous, unchaste. Biblically, lascivious means driven by lust or preoccupied with exhibiting lustful desires. The following pornography statistics seem to buttress the spirit of lasciviousness in this our generation. Please listen attentively. 68% of church-going men and 50% of pastors view pornography on a regular basis. This is based on the American Society, America, USA. Of young adults,
between ages 18 to 24, 76% actively search for pornography sites. That's disturbing. America. 64% of youth pastors confess to struggling with pornography, either currently or in the past. These are statistics. They are not my figures. Unquote. The U.S. is the number one producer and consumer of pornography in the world. 60% of all pornography sites are hosted in the U.S. The source, blazinggrace.org. Want to search it out? Blazinggrace.org. In closing, brothers and sisters, let us take heed to the whole counsel of God, and not just to emphasize a single truth over and above others. Jesus is coming for a bride that is spotless, a bride that is holy. Even in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, God expects us to distinguish ourselves, to live holy lives. But this kind of false teachings, as it's pervading everywhere, if you believe it, you are likely to produce the other kind of fruit, the fruit of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is what God wants us to produce, and that is Christ-likeness. Amen. So at this time, I just want us to pray. We don't want to be victims of this pornography because it's an offshoot of this kind of permissive teaching that is going on. It doesn't really matter. Christians don't sin. Christians don't confess. Christians don't repent. So these are great and grievous errors. I also want to read another scripture, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, in closing. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Can we see that, please? Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. This is my counsel to you. In view of this teaching that is pervading Christendom, maybe some of your teenagers, some of your children, they are behaving one way or the other. You can't understand them. They have so many things they are believing, and perhaps this is one of the wrong things that they are teaching them, and it made them to behave in a lascivious way. May the Lord deliver from this spirit and keep our children and relations from this false teaching in the name of Jesus. You have been listening to me. If you are not born again, there is no way you can make heaven. Jesus Christ himself taught it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. No talk of entering in. So if you have been listening to me and you are not born again, just find time to repent. Ask Jesus Christ to have mercy on you. Believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Believe that he died for you. Believe he was buried for you. And I believe he resurrected for you and is coming back again for you. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, you must accept the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and make you a brand new creature. Pray that prayer silently. And if you say it and you mean it with all your heart, that's the beginning of a brand new life. That's how myself, 49 years ago, and next year, by God's grace, I'll be 50 years old as a Christian. I made that confession. You too can do that. Lord has never failed me. I will not fail you in Jesus' name. Then, we believers, we need to rededicate ourselves to the Lord. There are so many things that are going on. Even if you have been caught in this web of pornography watching, you know, watching all these kind of porn things, you can be delivered. Because Isaiah chapter 49, 24 to 26 says so. Even the lawful captive, even those for one reason or the other, whether directly your fault or because of friends, They lured you into all this. You can be delivered even now. Yes. So, but have a repentant heart. And feel sorry because you are not supposed to do that. You're supposed to follow the counsel of God. Whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, whatever is virtuous. Those are the things you ought to meditate upon. You don't need to give room to the devil. By doing so, you are giving room to the devil. And we didn't mention other sins. There are so many other sins that can come. Deviant sex arise as a result of watching pornography, bestiality, homosexuality, sex outside marriage. All these are deviant sex, and people who watch pornography, you know, they are giving rules. They are like legal grounds for demons to come into their lives. Put an end to it today. You are the one to decide. With the help of the Holy Spirit, you can overcome. And I pray for anyone who has such problem that the Lord will deliver you in the name of Jesus. You will have victory. You'll be triumphant. Holy Spirit will give you victory in the name of Jesus. You will not be contaminated. Our children will not be contaminated. But we shall be vessels of honor, use of God, even to impact our generation positively in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us so that at his coming, none of us will be found wanting and none of us will be left behind in Jesus' name. God bless your hearts.